Hey, what's going on? It's Corbin McCarthy, and this is Let's Settle the Score podcast. Hope you guys enjoy it. And today, I have a very, very, very special guest with me. She is a professional basketball player. She was an amazing college basketball player. And she just so happens to be my sister. My sister, Kristen McCarthy, she's here with me. And I couldn't be happier to have her on. You know, she's an amazing basketball player who plays overseas. But I'm going to let her, talk to you guys and let you know, give her some insight on what it's like to be a female basketball player, professional basketball player. And just let her, I'm going to give her the floor and let you hear from her. So, Kristen, the floor is yours.
Appreciate you having me on. Big bro. like Corbin said before, my name is Kristen McCarthy, and Corbin is my brother. Yes, I do play professional basketball. I'm going on my 6th year now. I'm actually shortly going to head overseas to begin my season. I'm currently playing in Iceland, and I've played in probably about 3 or 4 other countries. But for me...
And let the people know what countries you've played in.
I've played in Italy, I've played in France, I've played in Romania, and I've played in Germany, and like I stated before, I'm going to play in Iceland. This will be my 3rd year in Iceland, not consecutive, but my 3rd year. Somewhere that I really enjoy playing, and one of the things I'm so grateful for basketball is it's allowed me to, you know, travel the world, meet so many people, and just give me different perspective and new perspective on life, because everything is different in other countries, of course, and just being in America necessarily is just, it's a lot of, things are done a lot differently, basically, so, but it's just good to travel, and I get to do 2 things that I love, play basketball, and see the world. So it's definitely a grind playing. You know, you have practices 2x a day. You need to make sure that, you know, you're taking care of your body, you're lifting. It's something that I love to do, but at the same time, it's not always easy. And then when you are far away from home, sometimes there's those days where I would just love to have dinner with my family, or, you know, just hang out with my family or with my friends. So there's sacrifices as well.
All right, so with that said, and you playing in a bunch of countries, what would you say is your favorite country that you've played in so far?
This might be the easiest question that you'll ask all day. I'm going to go with Iceland, okay. Hands down. It's an amazing country. The people are great. The weather's not the best, but there's just... way far many pros than cons, so it's a good experience there for me, and I enjoy playing there.
Well, for those of us who haven't been to Iceland, what are some of the pros or what's the culture like out there?
Let's see. Well, the people are just really nice. They would give you the shirt off their back, you know. I mean, of course, every country has good and bad people, but I feel as though Iceland has far more amazing people. Everyone I've come in contact with has been nothing but good to me. The food's good, it's very fresh, which a lot of Europe is fresh, especially compared to the United States, you know. So you're getting fresh fish, fresh lamb that was raised, and you even could see the sheep just, you know, hanging out outside, walking around. Man, so
one day the sheep is there and the next is on the plate. Like
basically,
that?
It doesn't Man. Take long.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, also the fresh fish, they're catching it, and like same thing with the sheep, a couple of days later it's on your plate. And it gets really cold, but to be honest, it gets colder in other places, even in the United States, like Chicago, Minnesota, places like that. At least the specific town that I'm in Iceland is not as cold. It snows, but not a crazy amount. The wind is probably the largest factor that makes it really cold, But yeah, it's just great, you know. You don't feel any pressure to like play well. You just play and the results take care of itself. But yeah, it's just a lot of fun and everyone supports each other. So
what town in Iceland are you in?
The name of my town is a Icelandic word. It's called Stykkishólmur, Iceland. So it's a small town, probably about 1,200 people, I'd say. And it's a lot different from what I'm used to, being born and raised in California. But it's a good change, and it's just nice because it's slow pace. So, I mean, you pretty much just focus on what you need to do, which is play basketball. So, yeah, it's been a good experience getting to know and meet all the people. Of course, you see all the same faces because it's such a small place. But, yeah, I've definitely enjoyed it.
That's pretty cool. All right, so outside of the challenge of being away from your family in another country, playing the sport you love, but being in another country, what challenges do you face as an athlete in another country, and even more particular, as a female professional athlete?
Well, I'd say being in another country, it's just different because there's a language barrier at times, depending on where you are. Specifically in Iceland, it hasn't really been much of an issue. People there pretty much speak English. But, you know, some places you'll go to another country and you can just tell you don't really feel welcome. And they'll kind of just look at you. Even to break it down a bit further, of course, I'm a black athlete too, so just for some people in some countries, I've had people just kind of cut their eyes at me and everything. So that's been different, but for the most part, I just make sure, like, I'm there to play basketball, so I'm focused on that. And you said as a female athlete,
what challenges do you face?
I mean, at times, certain places that I've played, not all, because playing overseas, some teams have men's teams as well, but some don't. They have women's teams. But I've played in some places, and, you know, they kind of just are more so focused on the men. Actually, you know how we definitely fight for female equality, and we're it's a constant fight that will take a long time to solve. But Iceland is one of the countries that is a bit more progressive in that area. They really recognize that there is an inequality, and they there's a lot of campaigns, and they fight hard to bring it to the attention of others. You know, that we need to have equality. So, you know, I just make sure that, you know, that we're treating, that everyone is being treated the same. So, and I try to encourage the kids, because I do some coaching out there, and whether it's a boy or girl, we're doing the same thing. And no matter what, I just, you know, try to stress that, you know, to watch, I try to stress to the boys, especially, to watch women's sports, watch women's basketball, that we can do the same thing as well. And they've had some campaigns out there to get introduce kids at a young age to women's sports. And oddly enough, like, the kids didn't really recognize a difference, and they were just looking up to the girls. The young boys were looking up to the girls as well. But, I definitely, in some places too, you know, there's way more fans coming to the men's games than the women's. And just sometimes when you're mentioned, you know, I try to tell people to come to my games, no matter where I'm playing. But, you know, you get kind of a look, or people are like, oh, no, I don't watch women's basketball. Like, I've never gone to a game because I don't think it's fun. I'm like, but you haven't been. So I just tell them, just, you know, check it out. And then you could make your own decision from there. But it's like a, you know, a constant battle. Like, unfortunately, it's something that I'm used to, but something that I just want to try to continue to help grow and get equality for women.
No, I mean, that's definitely a good thing. And I don't know, it seems like, you know, the progress women are making in sports, even throughout society, is getting better, is progressing, but maybe not at the rate that it should be. Should be picked up a lot more. I mean, you know, we just came off of seeing Serena and her whole U.S. Open and the controversy around that. And, you know, she was, she accused the umpire being sexist. And, you know, we've seen a couple WNBA players come out saying that, you know, they deserve a lot more money, or, you know, that it's just not right. But what do you think needs to change in women's sports, maybe even on the wage scale? How do you think that can change? And if so, what do you think needs to change?
So how do I think the wages can change? It's kind of different. I guess it depends on if we're talking like WNBA or overseas, but I guess if I had to just comment as a whole.
So we can go with WNBA.
With the WNBA, one, I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. I know I can't pinpoint an exact number or anything, but I know when the NBA started, you know, the guys weren't making as much as they're making now or have been in the past. I think overall the first thing we need to do is get more butts in the seats and get more just support for women. So whether they're women are getting booked for maybe more ads, or they're promoting women's basketball more, which in turn puts more butts in the seats, because I feel like more revenue needs to be generated so that they can put that money out. Now, if we're talking WNBA, it's one of the only leagues that a lot of the coaches get paid more than the players. So that's something that's kind of interesting when you're trying to make a team and coaches are getting paid more than the players. I guess it just depends on the league and where they find its value. But I would say the biggest thing to increase, you know, the pay would be just to get more support. So the more money we're making, the more money that the WNBA, is bringing in, the more money that women can make, which kind of goes back to your last question and women's equality. Of course, it's the women's sports isn't really covered like that. I mean, I don't know how many people knew that the Seattle Storm won the WNBA championship. So I don't know what the ratings were, but I would definitely be curious to know, especially in the past years, because these were two different teams in the finals than has been in the past couple of years. But, most importantly is just marketing to the right people. And filling the seats, getting that support, making it, giving the people a reason to come. I mean, to me, they have an easy reason. It's good entertainment, but some people don't see it that way. And tickets aren't really expensive, so you just have to find an avenue of marketing and just to get the people in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm confident that when the people are able to just come watch a game, that they'll like it. I mean, the WNBA and women's basketball in general is a good product. We play good basketball. We're very skilled. But it's just as far as people just need to respect us and our craft and want to watch professional basketball.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And, I mean, it seems like at times the WNBA is kind of headed in the right direction, and sometimes it seems like it takes a step back as far as growing the league and it progressing as a whole. So I'm giving you, commissioner, you right now, you're commissioner of the WNBA. What would you do to improve the league? Maybe on the court, off the court, or both?
If I had to just speak on it right now, I would say I would definitely try to, and this is just, of course, I don't know the back work and everything that needs to be done, but I would like to see the WNBA promoted more. Like I said, of course, money's always involved, so it's easier said than done. But I know a lot of people aren't even aware that there is a game, or they're not aware of just anything that's going on throughout the season. So I would just utilize the players like as much as we can. And I mean, at the moment, because to pick things up and how popular the NBA is, I would just try to piggyback off of them even more. I mean, I think we have some of our NBA guys, especially like, you know, LeBron James. He's always promoting just women's equality and just rights for women and just supporting them. So I think when you have athletes of that status talking about women's basketball, it allows more people to hear of it. So I even think, you know, if maybe just the NBA guys would do something as small as to promote WNBA on their social medias, and maybe they can get a big partnership campaign or get packages for NBA games with WNBA games, something to where you're giving people an opportunity and to see the WNBA and just telling them more about it. I mean, everything is a process. It's not easy, but I definitely think that would be the idea that I would go with.
I mean, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. All right, so we're living in a time where, like I said, I feel like women are progressing more, just not at the rate that it should be. But we're seeing female coaches in the NBA, you know, assistants, female assistants in the NFL. So, you know, they're getting more opportunities. Well, at East Los Angeles College, there's actually a woman. Her name is Antoinette Harris, and she's a safety at East LA College, who now she actually got a scholarship to Bethany College, and she wants to be the first woman to play in the NFL. Do you think she actually has a real chance of making it to the NFL?
I mean, I'm definitely rooting for her, that's for sure. I didn't really know about that. I had no idea. But if I'm speaking realistically, I would say no. Like I said, I hope she makes the team. Now, I think some team will probably give her a look because it's going to give them publicity and it's going to help them on that end.
But you don't think she has a realistic chance of making it?
No.
I mean, I heard she's pretty good, so I don't know.
Yeah, but you said realistically, I don't think she has a real chance. Like I said, I don't want to be a pessimist about it. I definitely am rooting for her, and I'm sure she has that skill. But we go back to like women's equality and everything, and I just don't think we are that far along yet for them to put her on the team in the NFL.
I hear you. I mean, I get that, and that may take time, but I don't know. I still think that's pretty interesting that she even made it this far, as far as playing football. So that's good for her. All right. Something else I wanted to ask you about, something that's been big in the news lately, is Colin Kaepernick, obviously, with his protest the last few years. He's been out of the NFL for 2 years. But Nike decided to do a deal with him and make him the face of his 30th anniversary campaign. A lot of people are outraged about that, which is interesting, and a lot of people are supporting Nike and supporting the deal. But what does this deal with Nike backing Colin Kaepernick, what are your thoughts about that? What does that mean to you?
I mean, I love it. I think that, I mean, Colin Kaepernick deserves so much more, especially the way he's been treated and pushed out of the NFL despite his talents. I mean, he's way more talented than a lot of the people that are currently playing. So, of course, we all see and know what happened there. But I like the fact that Nike's backing him. I mean, it helps both parties. It helps Kaepernick monetarily. It helps Nike monetarily as well. And I think it's good for a company like that to stand up for what they believe in or see as right, despite, you know, you have some backlash, and, like, you know, there's been people burning Nike gear and everything, but Nike is just like Kaepernick, going to do what they feel is right. So I think it's really good. It sets a good example and tone, and basically echoes Kaepernick's voice, especially for the younger generation, like, to show them, you know, do what you feel is right, and maybe initially it doesn't work out your way. Like, unfortunately, Kaepernick is not in the NFL anymore, but he's going to do even greater and better things, and he's fighting for our future. So, Yeah, I think that's great on Nike's part. And actually, I heard that their sales have gone up, so they're not hurting it by any means.
Yeah, no, I definitely think the deal with Nike, I mean, I think it's bold for Nike to come out and do that, and I applaud them. But it also got me thinking, because when you watch the commercial, Nike, they're saying stand up for what you believe in. They're not necessarily saying that they are 100% backing him on his social justice stance. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because they also, you know, the commercial and the message was also about, you know, people counting you out and not really agreeing with you and don't give up and push forward. You know, they had Serena Williams in the commercial. So I think, like, Kaepernick's message as far as his stance on social injustice in that commercial is a little, you know, mixed in with other messages. Mm-hmm. It's still good on Nike's part, but I think Nike was being a little bit more general to cover their bases. They're still playing it safe to a certain degree. So, but I mean, I still think it's cool. And like I said, Colin Kaepernick and his Know Your Rights campaign is making a lot of progress and doing very well. So, that's just really interesting to see that Nike, even, you know, Kaepernick hasn't been in the league in 2 years and he has he's had a deal with Nike. So I think that's interesting that they back him now. And the backlash has been kind of interesting to me as well. But do you think Kaepernick makes it back to the NFL?
I don't. If it's up to these owners and everything of all the NFL teams, no. And I don't know that this campaign, as far as the NFL, is helping him either. I mean, at this point, it's almost like, you know, he made the decision to fight for our rights and for equality. So I love that he did that. And I don't think he's even really worried about making it back to the NFL. I'm sure he knew once it started to get a little crazy, he knew what it was. So it's great on his part.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really don't think he makes it back to the NFL, unfortunately. I still think he loves football, but I think he sees that there's more to life and there's bigger issues than just the game of football. So I think he's really focused on that more. If he got an opportunity to still play, I'm sure he would take it, but I don't think that's the focal point anymore. And he's done so much with his organization and raising awareness and educating people and just really moving forward. So more props to him. And plus, he's suing the NFL right now for, he's suing the NFL for having the owners collude against him to never play in the league again. So that's also something that's working against him. But, you know, I mean, you got to fight for what you believe in, and he's doing that, and, you know, it's proven true.
Yeah, and in the end, we don't know when that end will be, but he'll win. Kaepernick will win. We will win, so respect to him for that.
Definitely agree. All right, so I'm going to pick your brain a little. Obviously, you're a female athlete, female basketball player. You've played since you were how old?
My first organized game was at 5 years old.
So that's for 20-plus years. You've been playing basketball for 20-plus years. I'm sure you've had a lot of athletes who have influenced your game, who have inspired you. I want to know, who are your top five female athletes of all time and who are your top five male athletes of all time? And it can be in any sport, just top five athletes.
I don't know. I don't know if I could think of five men right off top, but, or five women, but I definitely, my favorite women's basketball player is Tamika Catchings. I know she's now retired, but I love everything she stood for on and off the court. She always came to play. She hustled no matter what. And just the things she did for her community and continues to do off the court. She was just a great role model. And it doesn't hurt that we both wear knee pads, so how could you not love her? But, yeah, so that would be number one. Serena Williams, I mean, she's just an amazing, amazing athlete. I enjoy watching her play, and I'm not even, I've never played tennis or anything, but just to see the things that she's done in her sport, and she's dominated for so long as well. She's definitely one of my favorites. Who else would I say? Let's just hop to the men, and then I'll go back to the women. Kobe Bryant, that is my guy. I mean, the way that he gave to the game, and because of the work he put in, it gave back to him. And now to see him excelling off the court so quickly is just a testament. I'm sure he's been working on this stuff for a while. We just didn't know about it. But Kobe is definitely one of my favorites, especially like athletes. Now, LeBron James, you know, I got to be honest, he wasn't my most favorite in the beginning, especially, you know, just when he left Cleveland and all of that. But the past, like, couple of years, he's really grown on my list. Not that he cares, but, but you know, he has a lot of haters, but I'm definitely a fan of his. He does so much, especially off the court, and he's a great basketball player, but you've never seen anything negative about him in the news. He's such a great role model for everyone, not just kids, but I feel like even adults look up to him as well. Who else? I always liked Muhammad Ali. I mean, I'm younger, so I didn't watch any of his boxing matches, but just learning about the history and everything, some of the great things that he did, stuff he endured because of the color of his skin and fighting for his rights as well. He's one of my favorites. So that's three for the men. I'm going to go also with Colin Kaepernick. His is less about football for me. It's more about the sacrifices that he's made for others at the expense of his career as to why I really like him. I mean, he is a really, really great athlete. And I'm going to go back to the women also and say Lisa Leslie. She's one of my favorite athletes as well. And I was around and I was actually front and center for a lot of her games just to see the hard work that she put in, being the first woman to dunk in a game. And just the example that she set for a lot of people. She was the face of the WNBA for a while. And just, I even watch her now in the broadcasting world. And so she's just a really great role model. Let's see, another woman and another man. I think I'd really have to think about that. Let's see. And I'm only thinking basketball. I should probably think other sports as well. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that may conclude my list.
Well, even if you can't come up with the top five for each, I mean, that's a pretty impressive list. And a lot of the athletes that all the athletes that you've listed have had impacts on and off the court, you know, more specifically off the court, just whether it's their social message or their impact in the community or just their influence on the generation, you know, beneath them that they've been able to influence. So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, not only that, but they're just top athletes. They dominate at what they do, and they apply that. You know, they take that off the court and they apply that in their everyday life. So that's, I like seeing that. All right, and we're going to wrap it up with basketball. Basketball comes to an end for everybody at some point. So what would you say after basketball? What do you want to do?
When I finish playing basketball, I'm going to be a sports broadcaster. That's what I went to school for. So I try to just stay up, you know, current and just watch a lot of the broadcasters. You know, I watch Kara Lawson a lot, Lisa Leslie, actually Ryan Hollins as of late. I'm always watching him. Marcellus Wiley. I just try to, you know, keep up with a lot of people because that's definitely the avenue that I want to take when the ball stops bouncing.
Oh, well, that's pretty interesting. And, I mean, that's good just to see you take your love of the game, you know, and just transform it into another area. So you'll definitely, I'm sure you'll do big things with that. You do great things on the court now, so you'll continue that off the court. Well, I just want to thank you for joining me. Thanks for having my sister on. It's kind of fun to have a conversation with her and talk to her. But I want to thank you, the listener, as well, for tuning in. And catch me next time on Let's Settle the Score.
Thank you.